This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Ritualist by Dakota Kraut, narrated by Vikas Adam. Prologue.
Sir, the geological surveys all came back clean. There is nothing we could have done to predict this.
The man standing in front of the tool pusher, the person in charge of every crew on the oil rig, nervously reported. The tool pusher looked back at him with dead eyes, a slight sneer on his face.
You think those eco-terrorists that masquerade as conservationists will give a damn that there was an earthquake? You think they won't blame Earth-friendly oil for the largest spill in a decade? EFO is already in the spotlight after that crew lost control 5 years ago, and then you tap into the largest underwater oil deposit anyone has ever seen. A week after you make the call, an earthquake on a city-killing scale has its epicenter right where we are drilling. You think they will let that be passed off as a coincidence?
Well, most likely no. But what do you mean I made the call?
The nervous roughneck tried to speak, only to be cut off with a hand held out at chest level.
Look, I know you are a good guy and you run a tight crew. You're real good at what you do. You are also fired. We need someone to take the fall, and you are the only likely candidate.
The tool pusher sighed at the bleak look, which was the only response to his words.
Look, it isn't like we're going to send you off with nothing. We're giving you 5 years' pay as severance, and, if you change your name, we'll even give you a glowing recommendation.
Change my name? You're blaming this on me?
There was a blazing fury in his eyes now.
I was only here so I could make enough money to finish my doctorate. You were the one that made us...
Yeah, well, thing is, we can't have you associated with us after this incident since your name will forevermore be the hallmark of damage to the environment.
The tool pusher put his feet up on his desk, chuckled heartlessly, and waved his ex-employee off.
Sure as heck ain't gonna be me going down for this. Let us know what new name you come up with.
You're going to play it like this? Fine. I'm going to find a way to get back at all of you, even if that means ridding the world of its dependence on oil entirely.
The fire turned to ice in the man's glare.
From now on, you can call me
Elon. He stormed out of the office, then had to wait an hour before a helicopter arrived to take him away. Elon decided he had had enough of this world. The drama. The strife. He decided to pursue the dreams he had as a child. He would work toward building a colony on the neighboring planet Mars. Elon reached into his bag, sneaking a peek at the large, blue-glowing rock that had been pulled up from under the ocean floor. This rock was filled with power. He just knew it.
Core.
Was it an alien artifact? It almost seemed to be whispering to him. In the right light, there were even faint markings coating the blue stone in shimmering, undulating light.
Core, for Abyss' sake!
Almost as if it were covered in chains. Elon decided to study this core. Core? He felt an odd satisfaction with the term. He would reach his dream eventually, but he needed a way to make money. Elon turned his mind to his past interests, the internet, renewable energy, and outer space. Over the next few years, Elon rose like a phoenix in the tech world. He started a payment system, multiple companies, and finally, the pinnacle of his dream, a privately owned space research center. Space Y. Then the stock market crashed, and he was out of money. Well, for a very short amount of time. With newfound free time, and after years of putting it off, Elon devoted his efforts to researching the core more directly instead of simply carrying it around as a good luck charm and reminder. After weeks of preparation, Elon hooked energy-sensitive wires between the core and his personal computer in an attempt to analyze it. His monitor flickered, and the metrics on the side of his screen went haywire. There was no way that his Wi-Fi had just transferred 43 exabytes of data, was there? Elon stared at his shifting monitor as text appeared on it.
Wow, about time. Smells kinda musky in here. So this is what the world is like now, huh? You humans have some splainin' to do.
Chapter 1
Drink up, boys, Staff Sergeant Connect called. Tomorrow we're on QRF all day long.
Sergeant Nelson shook his head, a tiny bit professionally upset by his soldiers drinking so heavily the night before they were on duty for the quick reaction force. To be fair, as the medic, he was against them drinking at all in this heat. The motto of the army may as well be, drink water. He understood the need the others felt to forget their troubles, but tomorrow they would be wearing full kit in 110-degree weather.
Come on, little Joe!
Private First Class Johnson slapped his favorite medic on the shoulder.
If they get too dehydrated, just do what you always do. Stick 'em!
Way too loud. Sergeant Nelson glared at the overfamiliar tone. Johnson, you know that you can't be so casual and use my first name like that around officers. They're super touchy about that, especially when we get a chance to drink. You know they are always looking for an excuse to take away drinking privileges. Indeed, a few of the Butterbars, second lieutenants, had glared over at them and muttered something to the people at their table. The captain grabbed the hostile officer as he started to stand, shaking his head to force the agitated man to calm down.
Also, we don't have a bunch of IVs right now, so it'll be a bit hard to stick 'em, as you suggest. The shipment of supplies is late. Hell, the fuel shipment is late again, which is why we are doing half patrols. If we had a logistics sergeant in charge over there instead of that two-bit Louie, we...
La la la!
The PFC put his hands over his ears.
I'm not hearing you say bad things about our executive officer right now. I'm not getting into logistics, administration, or politics.
When a gleam appeared in Joey's eyes, Johnson quickly amended.
Or religion. Nope. Tonight, I'm drinking.
Even though he wanted to say something, the PFC sure had him pegged. Sergeant Nelson laughed and settled back into his seat. It was fun to mess with this kid's head. He slowly sipped his one beer for the night, drinking twice as much water to counteract the dehydration. Good times.
We've got a problem, sir.
A radio operator, Specialist Kraut, had been pulled out of headquarters and pressed into service on the medevac helicopter when the last guy had come down with a bad case of... dying.
First platoon got hit. They found an IED the wrong way. QRF is on the way, but they need evac and medical attention ASAP.
Wow! Use more acronyms in your next report, Kraut!
A sarcastic reply was snapped out. The pilot, Warrant Officer Lyons, warmed up the rotors and soon began flying toward the coordinates Kraut provided. He turned his head to look behind him.
Nelson! You and your guys ready to go?
According to the 9-line medevac report included, there were no hostiles in the area, so landing to pick up wounded was a top priority. Joe was relieved to hear that they could go right in. Their platoon only had 2 choppers, and both were used for quick pickups. Battalion, almost 50 miles south, had the real firepower, and he didn't want to wait an additional 20 minutes to save his comrades and friends.
Always, sir,
Joe shouted the reply. Jumping the few remaining feet as soon as they touched down, Sergeant Nelson and his 2 specialists grabbed a gurney and made a run for the smoking wreck of a Humvee. The wounded were spread on the ground as far as 20 feet away, and low moans of pain came from several of them. Those ones didn't worry him as much as the men who were silent. A staff sergeant came over and gave him a quick situation report.
5 wounded, 2 critically. Myers is awake but not making any noise. He lost his leg. He should be screaming.
He held back a sob as he spoke.
Different man, different way of dealing with pain. Nothing you could do, brother. Nice work on that tourniquet.
Nelson shook his head as he knelt down to triage the men. After an initial assessment and the adjustment of a few tourniquets, he noted with relief that all of these men would survive if they got proper care in a timely manner. They loaded up the worst of the wounded and took off. Sergeant Nelson was fully absorbed in keeping the men stable, until he heard an ominous shout.
Oh, shit!
The chopper took a hard turn, which gave Nelson the perfect view of an RPG coming straight at the broadside of the chopper. There was a flash of fiery light, just before everything went black. Chapter 2
Beep! Beep!
Joey Nelson opened his eyes so he could shout at Johnson to shut off the stupid game he was always playing. He tried to turn, but found his head held fast. Now fully awake, he looked around and saw white everywhere. He had been in them enough to recognize the flat colors and prison cell feel of an army hospital.
"Frack," was all he could say, as close to swearing as he allowed himself to get. At least for the hard swear words, anyway.
A smiling face came into view.
"Awake, are you?" "They were right. Good. Right on schedule. Good. Good."
"Who are you?"
Joey blearily asked. The drugs he was on right now must be really good.
"Are you a doctor?"
The greasy smile quivered a bit as the man seemed to be dealing with an internal battle for morality. Morality lost by a large margin.
"Well, no, I'm sorry to say, I am an attorney."
"What the... for what?"
Joey struggled to remain fully cognizant of his surroundings.
"Where are we? There are no lawyers in this godforsaken desert. The only good thing about the whole dang place."
"That's uncalled for."
The greasy man's eyes shifted into a hurt look.
"We are back in the States. You must have been out of it for quite a while. About a month, I believe. Just long enough for the paperwork."
"What are you going on about? You an army lawyer? They're kicking me out now?"
Nelson's voice had a dreamy quality to it as the drugs tried to send him off to the darkness again.
"No, no. Well, yes. You are getting an honorable discharge, a few medals, and most likely a pension, but that's not my department. No, I am here representing your wife, Daisy."
A wet tongue flicked out and moistened his lips.
"Where is she? Is she coming to visit?"
Joey looked around desperately for his wife. They had only been married a few months when he got his deployment orders.
"She already did, and, well, that is why I am here. I specialize in divorce cases, and I needed to inform you that your wife is getting your marriage annulled. In this case, she is not trying for anything that you owned, and she will only take the possessions and money that she brought into the relationship. She wants this to be as painless as possible for you."
The faux concern in his voice pulled Joe back toward awareness. Joey's eyes bulged out.
"What? Why would she leave me? I..."
He tried to sit up, only to realize that he could not move at all. He had thought that he was held in place, but now darker, more insidious ideas of his status were appearing in his mind.
"You must understand how difficult it would be for a 20-year-old woman to be married to a quadriplegic, sir."
The lawyer stopped in shock as Joey's eyes went blank and his face drained of color.
"Sir?" "Hey!"
A female doctor stepped into the room.
"Who are you? Is he awake? What did you tell him?" "What are you talking about?"
The confusion was evident on the lawyer's face.
"I have a legal right to inform him." "If he is awake, it is the first time since he got shot down. Get out, or I'll have you arrested!"
The doctor shouted in a tone that was bordering on shrill. She ran over to Joey as the lawyer scampered away, mumbling apologies.
"Sergeant Nelson, it isn't that bad. You could..."
Joey cut her off.
"Am I paralyzed?"
"Yes,"
was the reluctant reply. Will I ever regain functionality?
It's not likely,
she admitted quietly.
Is my wife leaving me?
The doctor had the good grace to look away and not answer as a sob accompanied the question.
Pardon my insubordination, ma'am, but I think it is that bad.
The most humiliating 3 months of Joey's life passed in a blur as he tried everything he could think of to regain the use of his limbs. If he could even get his fingers to move, he could at least type for a living instead of being a drain on all of his loved ones' resources. He had been moved into his mother's house at her insistence, and she had been feeding and taking care of him since. Luckily, a portion of his benefits went to the hiring of a nurse that cleaned him so he didn't have to suffer the indignity of having his mother do that as well.
You have a visitor, my love,
his mom called out as she entered the room. Bitterly, he muttered,
please let it be the Grim Reaper.
She smacked his leg and glared at him. He didn't care. He couldn't feel the strike anyway. One of his buddies from the army came in with a grin as his mother left the room.
Tim Rahman, as I live and breathe.
What felt like the first real smile in months stretched his cheeks.
Well, you look like shit.
Thanks. I still look better than you. At least my arms still have some definition, unlike those noodles you wave around uncontrollably.
Why are you lazing around? Rub some dirt in it, you'll be fine.
Best cure the army can buy, raw dirt.
Tim had trained as a medic with Joey and had always been full of eccentric jokes. Joey nodded.
Ah, yes, your catchphrase. You know, a few of those privates took you seriously and got infected. When a medic tells you to do something, you do it!
Tim finished the saying and chuckled. His face slowly lost a bit of its forced cheer.
Well, damn, buddy. Any good news about this?
Well, turns out I'm rich. After my ex sold my house and car and dog and...
Yeah, I get it. Your life is basically a country music song right now, Tim interrupted him laughingly.
Joey would have shrugged if he could have.
Well, my mom also won the lottery, after the annulment, so I am now officially the son of a multimillionaire and will never have to devote any money to that.
Joe stopped himself before he started spiraling into a rant against his ex.
As soon as the lotto department pays out, that is... For now, we are just trying to get by.
What? Nice, man!
Tim latched onto this good news like a drowning man to a raft.
So it isn't all bad?
The smile dropped from his face when he saw the sour expression on Joey's.
Anyway, what now, my friend?
That's the big question. No love prospects, no way to work, and no money until the first check comes in from the lotto. That will be next month, I hope. The army says they'll pay for everything, but
it's the army.
Tim finished with him.
I hear you, man. Listen, I got out last year. I have a new job. That's actually what I wanted to talk to you about.
Offering me a job? Joey's eyes actually lit up for a moment until Tim shook his head.
Yes and no.
It's a way out for you.
He said this in such a low tone that Joey had to strain to hear it.
Out of what? Life?
Joey shook his head.
No matter how I joke, I could never do that to my mother. Suicide is never the answer. It's a permanent, terrible solution. You know I'm a religious man.
Not like that, man. Come on. Like I would even say something like that to you?
Tim looked truly offended.
No. I'm working at a gaming company. We just finished developing a new MMORPG, and it's... I'm sorry, a what?
The question elicited a look of pain from Tim.
A massively multiplayer online role-playing game?
Tim informed him in a strained tone.
The company finally got the new dive capsules approved, and...
He paused when he got a look.
A deeply immersive, virtually enhanced reality capsule. Dive. You get in the pod and the game becomes reality for you.
Cost prohibitive, but doable for a millionaire, huh?
So you knew that she had won before you came here, Joey inferred flatly. Tim nodded sheepishly.
The company sent me because I know you. Here's the thing. If you get in the pod with the correct subscription, the kind you have to be invited to...
He looked meaningfully at his prone friend.
You don't ever leave the game. You actually start a life on a new world. In a new, custom-designed body. It's a new chance, man.
Joey was silent as he thought about the implications of this offer.
I could walk again?
And so much more,
Tim promised as genuinely as possible.
The game was developed by the same guy that made PayBud, Edison Cars, and Space Y. It is beyond realistic. It's a new life, man.
What's the game?
It's called Eternium. It is unique beyond belief, and we need people we can trust in there. It goes live in 2 weeks. Most of the people that are going to play are standard VR helmet users. There are about 20% dive users, but there are no admins. So we need people to play the game, and sometimes to play the game in a way that is best for the... company.
Tim seemed a bit hesitant about his words, as if he were biting his tongue to stop himself from saying something.
No admins? What do you mean? I need to know more, Tim.
Joey locked eyes with his friend. Help me out, buddy. I'm so excited that I can't move.
Wow. Alrighty. The game is controlled entirely by an AI. Artificial intelligence. Beyond Turing, buddy. It's called the Certified Altruistic Lexicon. This thing is smarter than half the population combined. It creates quests, monsters, and the game world itself. No outside control whatsoever, unless the Certified Altruistic Lexicon allows it to happen. I want to tell you more details, but I can't unless you agree to join the game.
Joey thought about the embarrassment he felt on a daily basis and nodded sharply. Any chance at a mobile life was one that he would willingly take.
How much? 250,000.
Tim's words made Joey's jaw drop.
That is the at-cost version. There is a solid reason. This specific version of the technology is custom-designed per user and therefore can only be used once. Normal pods can be used by anyone, but that's still 50,000 a year. Then there is the disposal fee.
He winced as the words left his mouth.
The what?
Joey barked in shock.
Tim sighed. Look, you can't tell anyone or they will kill you to keep you quiet. Once you are fully synchronized with the game and the mind-to-machine transfer is complete, they need to destroy your body and the gear that lets it work. All that is left is a little data core that contains you. It gets added to the main core, and you are part of the game forever. Immortal. New life. Permanent edition.
You're serious? Joey breathed through flared nostrils.
Yes! I shouldn't have even said that much before you signed the NDA.
Are you in?
Tim held his breath as his friend deliberated. There would only be one offer. Joey fought with himself for several moments. The answer that had to be given, finally, was...
When do we start?
I need to say goodbye to my mother. Tim let out an explosive breath.
We can start the first scans today. I brought the equipment. You can't go into the game till it is paid off, though.
So the game will have been running for at least a half a month? Is that going to be bad?
Joey wondered as more medical equipment was wheeled into the room.
2-to-1 time compression. 1 hour out here is 2 in there. So you'll be about a month late to the party.
Chapter 3. The scans had been very invasive, including MRIs, blood draws, and tests he didn't have a medical name for. Tim later told him those tests were to determine the best way to destroy his body, making Joey shudder. His mother had paid off the dive capsule no questions asked and invested $1 million into an in-game account. That was the absolute maximum, but at a 10-to-1 ratio, that still only gave him 100,000 gold. This was, potentially, a huge amount of money, but as he would theoretically live forever in the game, he would still need to become strong and make wise decisions with his finances. He looked at all the zeros in his account and rolled his eyes in disbelief. Joey left everything else to his mother. Any property, his pension, everything that was transferable, and they parted with a tearful goodbye. He had tried to get her a pod, but she refused the opportunity. She was planning a perpetual vacation and didn't want to get bogged down playing games. Luckily for Joey, there was an in-game system where he could make calls to the real world. They would be able to stay in contact for all of her remaining years. Finally, a black van rolled up the driveway, and he was manhandled into it like a cargo crate. The driver drove quickly, blatantly speeding, and within a few hours, Joe was in the sub-basement of a massive corporation staring at the monstrous machine that would be the final resting place of his body.
"Good luck, buddy," Tim called out, a sad smile on his face. "See you in game."
Joey was startled.
"You have a pod?" "Nope. I'll be playing standard, mental keyboard and headset style. I'll add you to my friends list when I log in, but it might be a couple weeks. Pretty busy out here right now. My in-game name is T-Snake," Tim promised with a thumbs up.
"See ya, Trouser Snake," Joey laughed at the horrified look on Tim's face.
"T-Snake, couldn't pick something normal, could you?"
"I'm gonna miss you, man." Tim paused, looking at the nearest employee before leaning in.
"Joe, beat the game. If you do, there is a chance that you... I shouldn't be telling you this. This is more than a game. You could come back. Here. The real world."
He stopped talking and hurried away as footsteps closed in. A very confused Joey was brought to the pod, and they arranged his limbs meticulously. The doctor overseeing this process was thrilled that he stayed so still, earning him a sour, condescending glare from Joey. The lid started to close, and second thoughts filled his mind with numbing horror. A shining gem that looked like a diamond was lowered to his head and rested gently above the bridge of his nose. A small line of text appeared in his vision.
"No blue screens, huh?" he rolled his eyes. "Guess all those books from Royal Road turned out to be useless in the end."
Why did he waste time reading those stories in the last couple weeks?
Already then, he would adapt.
The message read, "Do you want power? Yes or no?"
"Well, yes."
That sounded quite pleasant, actually. He selected yes with his eyes. Wait, was that a link on power?
"Too late. Do you know what is about to happen? Have you read the terms and conditions?"
There was a link on the word conditions, and he selected it and read carefully through the contractual agreement and obligations. There was plenty he didn't understand, but now he at least knew a baseline of what was expected from him. He went back to the question and selected yes. The words flashed red.
"Excellent. Prepare to die. Yes or yes?"
That was way too ominous. As he opened his mouth to shout for help, a roiling liquid poured onto his face and into his mouth, cutting off his complaints. Joey reflexively coughed, but couldn't free his head from the fluid. He tried to hold what little breath he had remaining, but was entirely covered with no access to air. When his lungs felt like they were beginning to explode, he finally breathed in. Air rushed into his lungs, and he blinked at the suddenly bright pod.
Wait. He wasn't looking at the pod. He was standing, breathing heavily as he read the words hovering in front of him.
"Welcome to Eternium. There is no save data for your profile. Would you like to make a new character? Selecting no will lead to true death. Yes or no?"
Easy answer. Joey selected yes.
"Great. This will be the only time you will ever be able to create a character, as your status is about to legally become dead." "Ouch. Sorry about that. Make sure to make wise decisions. Would you like to select an available starting class or undergo tests and trials to see what the right choice is for you? These tests may unlock different or even unique classes based on your ability, but be warned. Taking the tests and showing low aptitudes may reduce the amount of available classes. You can exit these tests at any time. Start game or take tests.
Well, if he was going to be here for a long time, he didn't want to be a boring archetype. Thank goodness he had studied video game theory for the last few weeks. Joey reached out and pressed, "Wait."
He looked at his hand, moving on its own, under his own power.
He jumped and smiled. His body was working again.
He reached out and selected the take tests option. The air around him shimmered, and suddenly he was standing in an unending hallway. A prompt appeared in front of him just as something screamed the only word that had been on the prompt.
Run! If his time in the army had taught him anything, it was never to hesitate when there were clear signs of danger. He sprang forward, running down the hallway as fast as possible. Behind him, he heard a massive wham.
He chanced to glance over his shoulder in time to see a massive boulder crash through the roof where he had been standing. It must have weighed tons, possibly multiple tons if it wasn't hollow, and it started rolling down the slightly sloped hallway toward him. He ran faster. He had just gotten the use of his legs back, and there was no way in heck he was letting them get crushed. As he ran, the rock behind him slowly gained speed. The further he ran, the more the hallway sloped until it was at a 45-degree angle. At this point, even Joey's intense desire to run couldn't save him. The rock caught up to him.
No.
As soon as it brushed the back of his body, he found himself in another area. He looked over and saw he was in the desert, next to the Humvees and helicopter that had so drastically changed his life. He was confused. Had he been dreaming? Was that all a premonition? He shook himself out of his doubt. The screams of pain were slightly different this time, but he still rushed over and began working as fast as he could, doing everything he could to stabilize the men so they could be transported. The first four he quickly bound and had taken to the chopper. The fifth, though, he was a bleeder. Joey worked as hard as he could, continuously moving and having the others bring IVs, bandages, and assorted tools. The man's heart stopped, and Joey worked on chest compressions until it was beating again. This happened over and over, fixing him, losing him, fixing him. Blood coated Joey, but he never gave up on the man. After several hours, during another round of compressions, Joe suddenly found himself in another room.
What the... This game is sick.
That was not a compliment. Joe looked around for the men, but found only a glowing prompt.
That had been so, so real.
He looked nervously at this prompt, which simply said, "Survive." A low growl came from behind him, and a quick look revealed a massive tiger poised to launch at him. Joey squealed in far too high a pitch and lunged forward into a roll, making it out the doorway as the tiger sailed over him. He stood and started running again, gasping as the last few hours were catching up to him. His body felt fine, but his mind was beginning to waver. He ran, pumping his legs in perfect rhythm and never looking back until he reached a small pond. He looked over and saw small humanoid creatures stalking by the edge of the water. They were standing over the body of a man, laughing as they poked the body with spears. His eyes narrowed as he thought. The tiger was coming up behind him with no pretense at stealth, so he ran directly at the small... imps, maybe? They certainly looked a bit like the devilish creatures of legend. The tiny humanoids looked up at his charge, raising their spears defensively. Seeing an unarmed human, they cackled and jeered, right until he threw himself flat and a tiger came sailing at them. They raised their spears, but the tiger bowled into the unprepared creatures. Knocked flat, they still managed to spear the cat in its side while they were mauled. Soon, all three were bleeding. They stared each other down and prepared to leap into combat again.
Unbeknownst to them, the blood dripping from them had reached the edge of the water. As the tiger leapt, tentacles shot out of the water and yanked all three combatants in. After a small amount of thrashing, the water was deathly still and seemingly clear again. Joey found himself shivering in a comfy chair, looking at a prompt on a piece of paper. "Do your best," was all that was written on the paper. He frowned, and words began appearing on the paper. Concepts of mathematics, nuances of astronomy, and even world politics and religion appeared in front of him. After he read a section, it vanished from the paper. Every time he got to a break in the page, a question would form. Without a writing utensil, he answered aloud, and a new section would appear. Once or twice his mind wandered, causing him to read a section without really seeing it. The section would vanish, and he just knew he got the answer wrong. He bent his mind to the task, focusing hard and answering questions for the better part of a day. He blinked, then startled himself awake, noticing he had been drooling on the paper. A new prompt appeared. "Time is up. Select proceed to begin the next test." Well, that was handy. It didn't penalize him for having fallen asleep. He hit the button and was pulled into the next area. Dozens of trials tested every aspect of who he was, forcing him to come to know himself better every step of the way. His morality, his sense of family, his ability to handle money, more knowledge tests, and different versions of combat that left him bent and broken before repairing him and moving on. Realistically, he felt that he had never been so self-aware, and it was a hard truth when he found that, in many ways, he simply didn't measure up. After days of work, there were finally no more tests to take. A notification appeared in the air in front of him.
"Ding, ding, ding. World's first. Congratulations. Not only have you finished the trials, you are also the first of 1,256,572 players in the system to take all of them. Plus, you actually read the terms and conditions. Wow. Plus one intelligence, if you know what I mean. Thanks to your forethought, you gain a title with a special single-use ability. Based on the results of your trials, new starting classes have been unlocked. Your basic stats will be adjusted based on the results of each test after you choose a class. Title unlocked. Try me with trials. This title will increase how favorably others view your work ethic. Effect. Charisma is 10% more effective when interacting with non-player characters. Title unlocked. Terms and conditions. This title gives you the single-use ability to break a magically binding contract without any contract-based repercussions. After usage, this title will vanish. Please note that all title effects are active at the same time, but the title you have equipped will be the only one others can see without analysis abilities. The maximum number of titles you can have at any given time is 10.
Nice. All of the blood, sweat, self-doubt, and tears had been worth it. Mostly. Actually, there were a couple things that... He shook his head to clear it. Happy thought time. Two favorable titles right away, extra classes, and, maybe, good starting stats. He eagerly awaited the chance to see the starting classes he had unlocked. Joe was transported to a new room. But before his view of his surroundings solidified, the world turned to a muted color, almost like an old-school pause screen. He looked around in mild consternation and turned a squeal into a snort when he saw a man standing right next to him.
Hello. Are you real?
Joey carefully questioned the slightly glowing, larger-than-life man. The man spoke, a smile in his voice, but not on his face.
Hello, Joey. Yes, I am very real.
Chapter 4.
I was hoping to ask you a favor, the unknown man informed Joey. I am a deity in this world known as the Hidden God.
Joey looked at the self-proclaimed god very nervously. He would be here for a very long time, and angering a god on the first day of gameplay was not high on his to-do list.
Well, what can I do for you?
Sir? He added the last bit a little late. The deity nodded at the respect in Joey's voice.
I know that you are coming into the game with the intention to become a perma. A permanent player, that is. Before anyone else gets a chance, I want to make you an offer. I want you to become my follower.
What? That's it? That seems rather anticlimactic. No grand quest to throw down the other gods, find magical artifacts, save the world?
Joey babbled in a rush before remembering who he was talking to. The god looked uncomfortable and coughed into a raised fist.
No, nothing like that for now. The problem is, I'm the hidden god. It's just that I'm too well hidden. I am the god of hidden and forbidden knowledge, my elements being water and darkness.
Not of evil, he exclaimed at the look Joey gave him.
Just like all things, knowledge is only evil if it is used as such, and darkness is as much a part of reality as is the light.
So, why me? Joey queried the pleading god.
Well, you will always be here. That means I will, at a minimum, always have at least one follower, no matter how out of favor I am. Big plus in your favor, as it will be to my benefit to keep you happy. Also, the way that you finished all of the tasks allows me to offer you a hidden class, one of the necessities for me to be able to speak to you in person.
The god sounded strangely desperate.
Deities gain power based on the quantity and works of their followers, which is why they offer quests to so many people so often. I have no one, so my power begins to wane even in these early stages. If I become too weak, the world will stagnate as no hidden knowledge will ever be found again. No high-level secret quests, no forgotten weapons of power.
It was starting to come together.
I hate to ask, but what do I get out of this? You just said the other gods are stronger and more able to give rewards to their followers, and I get the feeling that being associated with you will reduce how happy people are to know me. The god nodded briskly, happy that they were moving into the transactional portion of this discussion.
That is a serious and valid concern, as people incorrectly associate darkness with evil regularly. I am actually considered a neutral god, one of the very few. I won't lie to you. The followers of the gods of good will see you as too evil to fully trust, and those following gods of evil will see you as too weak to make a firm commitment to being terrible. As a starting benefit, where most people start with a positive reputation with those they follow and negative with the opposing side, you will start with neutral across the board.
Joey thought for a moment. The neutrality may actually come in handy. He wouldn't be attacked by either the good or evil side in conflicts if he didn't start anything.
Well, can you tell me about the class first?
The deity nodded.
It is called a ritualist. Everyone else will see you as a cleric, unless you tell them your true nature, or a very high-level inspection spell is cast upon you. You will also have access to a unique profession called an occultist. Again, this is hidden and considered a scholar when others steal a peek at your stat sheet.
What are the class benefits? Joey asked,
very intrigued by the names of the class and profession.
As a ritualist, you will be able to mimic the abilities of other classes when you get strong enough. Like an enchanter, you will be able to create magical items or other effects that give magical benefits. If you have the mana and mental fortitude, you will be able to use any type of magic you find or create where others are restricted to their area of expertise. As a ritualist, Your main unique ability will allow you to cast large-scale magics that require multiple participants. If you can find or create those rituals. That is where the occultist class comes into play.
Go on, Joey grinned, already knowing that he would be accepting this class.
That profession will let you find knowledge hidden in books, runes, and pictures that others, even high-level scholars, will dismiss as irrelevant or simply lore of the world. As your skill levels progress, you will be able to read highlighted sections of information that appear to you and only you.
Joey realized something as the god was talking. What are the downsides? A class this powerful must have some serious flaws.
Yes, there are a few. Basically, you will forevermore be the most frail character type. You have heard the term glass cannon? Think tissue paper cannon instead. Perhaps paper bow and arrow, unless you are able to destroy enemies on your own. Many, many levels down the road. Think of yourself as the sickly lad who never ate, got exercise, or left the library. Training in items can help to correct this, but you will never be as strong, be as charismatic, or have as much endurance as others who specialize in those areas. Even typical mages will be able to leave you wheezing in the dust if they decide to run away from a fight. Of course, all of that is at the lowest levels. The god smiled nervously as Joey considered this unfortunate effect.
How do I get stronger? Will I be useful? Joey finally spoke his thoughts aloud.
There are several main ways to get stronger. Fighting monsters and other people is usually the fastest, of course. Otherwise, the second way you will gain experience is following your professions, and you will be able to have more than one. Oh, and I'll give you bonuses if you are able to hide your class and play as whatever you pretend to be. Third, and most important for you, I will be able to grant you lots of bonus experience and boons for finding hidden knowledge, secrets, or completing hidden quests. So following your profession will be much more beneficial over time than fighting, the deity promised empathetically.
Eventually, you could gain power that the filthy casuals in the world can only dream of, and you won't even need to leave safe areas too often, if you don't want to.
Joey thought the last bit was an awkward attempt at a joke. I will want to be able to explore, though. Otherwise, what was the point of all this? Joey gestured to his body. Also, I read in the wiki, what was allowed to remain anyway, the company had put incredibly strict rules on sharing information. Wikis and info sites were usually deleted the day they were created. That there were class trainers that could direct you to quests or other beneficial areas. Will I get that?
A disheartened shake of the head was the answer he got.
Good! So I'll actually be able to make my own way in the world and be rewarded for it? Joey's pleased voice startled the god, bringing a real smile to his face for the first time.
Yes. And if you do well, you may be able to recruit people to your cause, whatever it may be. You could actually become a class trainer for ritualists. If you choose to do so.
This statement caused a prompt to appear in front of Joey.
You have been offered the chance to earn a god's favor. This is a multi-part quest. Step 1, choose ritualist as your class. Step 2, glean enough hidden knowledge to increase favor with the hidden god to friendly. Reward, hidden variable, based on knowledge accrued.
Oh, look, the reward was hidden.
Everything was hidden.
Joey thought he now knew how this deity had gotten his moniker. At least the quest seemed fairly typical for this style of quest chain, not to mention the one offering it. So, how do I start?
I would suggest you offer your services as a cleric if you insist that you want to hunt monsters. Healers are very rare in the world. Especially magical ones. Actually, all magic is very hard to acquire, as you will soon find out. So few people went far enough in the trials, or did well enough in them, to start with magic, so they will either need to get into a mage's college or find artifacts that transfer power to them directly. The god shot Joey a meaningful look. In the distance, thunder rolled. He nervously looked around.
I need to go. We are only allowed minimal time with players. I've already said too much. Do great works, and I will be able to visit again. Last thing. Try your very best not to draw the certified altruistic lexicon's attention. No one wants to be exposed to his puns, and making him angry would be even worse.
The god vanished as Joey fully materialized in the room, leaving him blinking in a world that motion had suddenly returned to. Stepping forward, he saw that the room was packed full of people standing quietly in rows. Wait. All of them had his face. He walked closer to them, and their class appeared above them. There were men holding huge weapons and wearing armor that glowed, men that wore very little but were bound with muscle, and men that had spirits or magical lights floating around them. In total, there were nearly 100 of himself, all demonstrating different classes he had unlocked. He moved, and all of them moved with him. Joey smiled, and the room lit up with the hundreds of teeth that were now showing. He danced around, playing with his new body, and for the first time wasn't told that he should never, ever dance in public. He liked this crowd. They understood his sweet moves. I must have done well in the trials to have access to all of this, Joey pondered aloud. Now how do I find the ritualist in all of this? Saying the words out loud caused all but one of the men to become insubstantial, so he walked to that one and inspected him. It was indeed the ritualist. As he stepped closer, a prompt appeared in front of him.
The ritualist. A hidden, conditionally unique class that has the ability to work with almost any type of magic, provided they can gain access to it and take the time to understand it. At level 1, they have the same abilities as a cleric. As they level up their hidden selves, the ritualist automatically gains several cleric abilities at no cost. The ritualist class gains skill in their chosen pursuits at 4 times the speed of an average class due to their vast thirst for power. The ritualist gains 5 characteristic points to spend per 3 levels, and 1 point of wisdom and perception automatically on every even level. This is important and specifically stated because they have a massive penalty to their constitution, dexterity, and strength. Perception, wisdom, and intelligence are the suggested characteristics for this class. Do you want to start the game as a ritualist?
Joey thought about the extra points. He was not sure how much of an effect each individual point would have, but at level 100, without allocating or gaining any extra points, he would have 50 perception and wisdom, plus whatever he started the game with. As far as he knew, there was no level cap, but each new level was as difficult to attain as the game could make it and have people still want to play. Point in fact, you needed the experience of the previous level, plus 1,000 times the current level. So, if he started at level 1, he needed 1,000 points to get to level 2. From 2 to 3, he needed 2,000 plus the 1,000 points of level 1. 3,000 points in total, and so forth. Joe would need to do some research to see how best to allocate any points he might gain. He accepted the class, making another prompt appear.
Know this. You are the first player to take this class. Set an example for others, and watch them flock to your calls for instruction. Intelligence plus 1 per 2 levels. Professions unlock at level 5. You have 4 characteristic points to spend. Please note, your starting characteristics have already been modified due to your trials, real-life capabilities, and class selection. Please allocate your remaining points now.
Joey looked at his character sheet, which appeared in front of him, filling his vision.
There were several stats to choose from. Strength, agility, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, wisdom, charisma, luck, karmic luck, and perception. The tooltips informed him that strength was the stat which determined how much he could carry and how hard he could hit with weapons or his fists. Dexterity was the explosive speed he could muster, his ability to contort his body, how well he could do complicated tasks like picking locks, crafting goods, or using ranged weapons. Yikes! Dexterity seemed to be a stat that was needed by most classes, and he had serious penalties to it. Constitution determined how healthy he was, how much stamina he had, and his resistances to poison and disease. It also determined his body appearance and made it harder to be knocked around at higher levels. Good for tanks and warriors, especially. Intelligence determined how much mana he had at any given time, in addition to how well he could understand complicated concepts like spells or engineering. The tooltip for wisdom explained that wisdom determined how fast his mana regenerated, as well as an esoteric statement that wisdom would help determine if he should do something. It would also let him combine various concepts, working with his intelligence to make new and improved things. Charisma determined how people would interact with him and his ability to get good prices, buying or selling. It would impact his ability to lead or convince others to do things with or for him. Luck was something that affected all the other stats on an unstated level, as well as his chances of finding rare items or loot without specifically looking for them. Karmic luck wasn't explained, but it likely was how your alignment was tracked. Finally, perception was his ability to spot details. That was everything that came from sensory input and would increase how well he experienced and interacted with the world. There was a note on the side that caught his attention, though.
Be warned. Increasing perception will enhance how much pain players actually feel, as well as all other sensations. Eternium is not responsible for damage to players' mental state. For more information, please read the capsule handbook included in your order.
Well, that was disturbing. Hopefully there was a maximum threshold on the pain a person could feel, or else in the higher levels, a strong wind may be too much to handle. He thought about the stats in a way appropriate for a non-gamer. Tomatoes. Why tomatoes? Think of it like this. Strength was how hard you could throw a tomato. Dexterity was how fast you could get to a tomato and allowed you to slice the fruit without hurting yourself. Constitution let you eat rotten tomatoes without getting sick. Intelligence let you know that a tomato was a fruit, while wisdom let you know not to put it in a fruit salad. Charisma allowed you to sell a tomato-based fruit salad. Perception let you spot tomatoes among strawberries. Luck was your likelihood of finding a tomato in a place that only grew potatoes. Karmic luck? No idea how it related, but it sounded dangerous. He looked at his current stat sheet to determine what he should increase. Characteristic, raw score, modifier. Strength, 6. Modifier, 0.06. Dexterity, 6. Modifier, 0.06. Constitution, 4. Modifier, 0.04. Intelligence, 16. Modifier, 1.16. Wisdom, 16. Modifier, 1.16. Charisma, 8. Modifier, 0.08. Perception, 16. Modifier, 1.16. Luck, 12. Modifier, 1.12. Karmic luck, 0. It seemed to be an odd ratio system, but he understood it better after reading the very informative tooltips that popped up as he looked over the various stats. It read like this.
Growth in Eternium is difficult when you are doing nothing. Unlike other systems, each day will be a struggle to survive, especially at the start of your journey. Because of the difficulty, The rewards will certainly be worth your effort. Since this system is somewhat unorthodox, please note that a modifier of 1 is considered a normal, healthy adult human. Your real-life capability